Hi, everyone.
True Blue LA Podcast, Jacob Birch, Eric Steven. We'll be discussing Trevor Bauer having a restraining order placed against him and being put on administrative leave. We'll be going to a break before we do, but as a content and trigger warning, discussion will include descriptions of sexual assault. We won't be talking much baseball today, but we'll include a timestamp in the show notes when we do. We'll be back after this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Eric. Why don't you go through what happened with Trevor Bauer last week?
Okay, so on Tuesday, June 29th, we're recording this the following Tuesday, July 6th, but last Tuesday, a judge in the Los Angeles Superior Court granted a temporary restraining order against Bauer, stemming from two sexual encounters, one in April, one in mid-May. Among the things the victim, the woman mentioned in the restraining order was an acute head injury, assault by manual strangulation. From a report in The Athletic, who had a copy of the restraining order, said she also said that in one of those incidents, while unconscious, Bauer penetrated her anally, which she did not consent to in advance. Again, apologies for these references, just sort of painting a picture here. One of Bauer's agents, John Federoff, denied all the claims in a statement. I've written about this. I will link to these. I am not going to read the statements in full. Cheryl Ring at the Beyond the Box Score, who is an attorney, sort of had a really good piece explaining the legal ins and outs of consent. A couple key points from her piece. Quote, every state has enacted a statute which states that you cannot consent to the infliction of grievous bodily harm. Another quote, a person must be awake, aware, and able to understand the consequences of their actions to give valid consent. Those are just a couple of things. Now, in response to Cheryl's article, Bauer's team, one of the claims in the restraining order that was mentioned, she was being evaluated for a possible skull fracture. And I saw in a couple articles, The Athletic, Sports Illustrated, I believe Stephanie Apstein wrote about it as well. In like all three cases, Bauer's PR team representatives sent over like a copy of the medical records, which, by the way, included the victim's name unredacted, which just infuriating. But noting that there was actually no skull fracture, showing like CT scan results and all this, just throwing that out there. But that's sort of where we're at. Bauer's team also sent screenshots, including to me, when I reported on the restraining order, showing text interactions between Bauer and the woman. There's about two screenshots of this, including a picture of the woman. These are like sort of examples of why I think a lot of assault victims are like very hesitant to come forward, because they're facing an uphill battle in one sense. Like, it's hard enough, like, going through what they went through. Yeah, and then, but to get, like, to the point where it's, you know, anything is done because of it, like, prosecutable, any sort of justice, I guess, when you have an imbalance in, like, the relationship in terms of, like, you know, Bauer has millions at his disposal. He can sort of afford to like go on the defensive here, PR wise. But the point is, like, for the age, the PR team to sort of throw out the victim's name unredacted, like, most reporters aren't including that in their reporting. But just the fact that, like, they're just willy-nilly sharing this, and then also the text messages with the picture of the woman, like, you're just basically like putting a target on her, and I think that's a problem. But just following through the timeline here, Tuesday, June 29th, the restraining order was filed in Los Angeles. By Wednesday, both The Athletic and ESPN had reported on the details of the restraining order, which had, you know, some of the stuff we mentioned above. The Dodgers were off that day. They were flying to Washington, D.C. I looked this up over the weekend. There's been six times when an MLB player underwent, like, an investigation with the league while for an incident that happened in season. There are six times it happened. Five times that player was placed on administrative leave within 24 hours of either the incident itself or when news of it became known. This was Hector Oliveira, Roberto Osuna, Addison Russell, Oduba Herrera, and Julio Urias, the latter 2019 with the Dodgers. The one that took a little bit longer was Domingo Germán of the Yankees. He was the only starting pitcher of this group. I'll get why that's relevant in a moment. His incident came on September 16th, 2019. He actually pitched 2 days later. And then the next day after that was placed on administrative leave by MLB. The Yankees said at the time they did not know of the incident before he was placed on leave. So, like, it happened, but no one really knew about it until a few days later. So it wasn't like they put him out there knowing this. Of note here, also, Marcelo Ozuna was arrested this year on May 29th one of the charges was aggravated assault, strangulation, and battery, family violence. He has not been placed on administrative leave yet, but the only reason for that is because he has two broken fingers and is on the injured list for a while. So he's, like, out of sight, out of mind. That's not the case with Bauer, who as of last week was still in the Dodgers rotation. By this timeline, it was pretty clear that, like, Thursday was the day for MLB to act. Like, you know, it's been 2 days since the restraining order, 1 day since, like, reports of the restraining order are out there. So, like, you already have, like, a public perception of this. MLB didn't put him on administrative leave yet. Now, that put the Dodgers in a situation where technically the CBA says an MLB team cannot punish the player for this unless MLB directs it to do so. Now, punishment can mean a lot of things, but like it's the Dodge, what the Dodgers' response was like even disappointing by those standards. Dave Roberts was asked, Bauer was scheduled to start Sunday in Washington, and Roberts said, MLB instructed the Dodgers not to do anything, and then the quote was, it's out of our hands, which was deeply unsatisfying, right? Like, at that point, you sort of, you already have an idea what's going on. I think it was terrible that MLB didn't already act and put him on administrative leave, because that was very clearly going to be what was going to happen, and they finally did on Friday. But to have Roberts put in that position and then to give that answer was disappointing. Like, this is a team that, like, you could have just said, you know, it's a distraction right now. We want to make sure his head's in the game. Whatever you have to say, but like, you, even if you don't level with us, you can BS your way through it. Like they have on many occasions before, like Walker Buehler. This is not related. I mean, in terms of the way sort of things get rationalized, at least publicly, Walker Buehler was optioned during the All-Star break in 2018. He was pitching like fine, you know, and he was down for like the minimum 10 days, and then they brought him back up. Now, it was basically so he could still like start in the minors, I believe. I forgot to look back. I don't remember if he actually made a start with them or he just like took the break off. But the fact that they optioned him, all of a sudden at the end of 2018, he was 4 days shy of having a full year of major league service time, which means he was a free agent after 2020. He's going to be free agent after 2024 instead of 2023. And like how convenient that was at the time. Dave Roberts said, you know, it was just I forgot what he said, procedural move, something like that. And like, you know, just BS if you have to, but like there was no way Bauer was going to start Sunday. It was obvious, yet they were put in a position and did not deliver on
and
that.
And his teammates were put in a position where like he went on the road trip. Like,
right. Oh yeah. That was the other thing. So Thursday night, the Dodgers won a rain shortened game. Max Muncy hit a grand slam. I actually did not watch that game. I was off for a couple days. But I saw the highlight of Max Muncy's grand slam, and then at the end of the highlight, like Bauer's in there in the dugout, like, and imagine this from a fan perspective. Like, obviously, I think there's a lot of fans who are like innocent until proven guilty. This isn't about like criminal proceedings, right? This is about what about like Dodgers fans who are like survivors of sexual assault, or you know, just any sort of domestic violence, and they have to sit here and watch this guy who like the allegations are out there, right? Like it's very public what he's being accused of at this point, and he's still in your dugout. Like, what does that say, right? That's a perception issue, and that's where the Dodgers, like, I think failed in this regard. Again, MLB should not have put them in that position, but it was just wholly disappointing all the way around. So Friday, the official word came down. Bauer was placed on leave. It's paid leave for now. It lasts up to 7 days. MLB can ask the players union for approval for an extension, which happens like all the time. Of the seven previous players who were placed on administrative leave, five of them had at least one extension. A sixth there, Jose Reyes, his leave was converted to a paid suspension until the completion of his legal proceedings, which MLB has the right to do. Now, there's the All-Star break this weekend. Bauer's court hearing is on July 23rd. So it's like very likely that his leave is going to be extended until at least that. Now, MLB is currently investigating. So is the Pasadena police. But like that's sort of where we're at. Now, Roberts on Monday, I guess, sort of free of the constraint of MLB not acting, he was asked, because you know, if Bauer's 7 days were up, he could have technically like started this coming Friday. Roberts was asked about that, if he's going to start before the All-Star break, and he said, I don't see it happening. So he's capable of giving that kind of an answer. Like, you know, obviously different, not exactly apples to apples here, but that's sort of where we're at now. I think part of the reason why MLB was waiting was because Bauer's a starting pitcher. He wasn't playing until Sunday. And I think their sort of thinking on this was that they want to maximize the window. If it's 7 days, you started on Sunday at the that means even if it only lasts 7 days, he could only pitch like on that Sunday before the All-Star break. So I think they wanted to start the clock as late as possible, but what they ignored was the damage they're already doing by leaving him like with the team, with the allegations out there, and forcing the team to answer questions, forcing players to answer questions. So I don't know. It's just one of these things where MLB was slow to act because they waited till they got bad press. Like you had by Thursday night, I think Ken Rosenthal wrote MLB. There's no way MLB can allow Trevor Bauer to start Sunday. Bill Plaschke wrote the same effect. Like other people were writing this. Like it was so clear that he wasn't starting Sunday, and it was so disappointing that they didn't act soon enough. But this is also a sport that has been terribly slow to like react to how badly women are treated within the sport. Like you look, Jared Porter was like a rising star among like executives, hired for the GM job. Then it came out that he was sent dick pics to a woman reporter, and like and then he was eventually fired. Mickey Callaway, for a report from The Athletic, when he was in Cleveland, they said it was the worst kept secret in baseball that he was like a womanizer, and five different women at first came out to The Athletic reporting Callaway like harassing them in some way over previous years. It happened in three different cities. He since got hired by the Mets and then by the Angels. Both of those men were suspended finally this year. They're suspended through at least the 2022 season, but the fact that they were sort of fostered within the industry until it sort of happen like shows you sort of where MLB is at, and they're very far behind in terms of how they treat women, and like this is just they're just like slow to see that kind of stuff. Now Dave Stewart hasn't been like related with the Dodgers in a long time outside of I guess his last time was being Matt Kemp's agent, but he was a former pitcher for the team. He was on the 1981 team. The Dodgers are celebrating the 40th anniversary of that team later this year. And he told them he's not going to come because of the way they handled the Bauer situation. And Bob Nightingale reported on this. I'm just quoting from Nightingale here. He said he received an email that read, quote, "The team and the Players Association support the player until he's guilty." That's a infuriating statement for the team to send Dave Stewart, allegedly, which is what he said. Stewart in the Nightingale piece kind of summed it up here. I'm just going to quote, "I know they owe him a lot of money, but the right thing to do is distance yourself from that guy. I don't want him in my clubhouse. If you're a teammate, you can't support him. And if you're a teammate supporting him, what are you standing for?" So that this gives you an idea of sort of where we're at. Now, in terms of Bauer, there's a criminal investigation still ongoing. Again, something from Nightingale, the Pasadena Police Department said, quote, "The investigation is bigger than we thought." He's actually under investigation for felony assault at the moment. MLB is also running a concurrent investigation into Bauer. Now, I just want to point out now, there's been seven previous players placed on administrative leave since the domestic violence policy began in 2015. All seven were suspended eventually. Average of 62 games. Urias got the shortest suspension there, 20 games. The maximum was 82, Hector Oliveira. Five of the seven were arrested. Addison Russell and Domingo Germán were not. Charges were dropped on every single one except Hector Oliveira, who served a 10-day sentence for misdemeanor assault in 2016. Again, Bauer's under investigation for felony assault. The point here is you don't have to be arrested or charged to be suspended by Major League Baseball. So Bauer is almost certainly going to be suspended at some point. The only question is how long, and that gets us to sort of the like this broad overview of like how it's weird that like an employer is sort of dealing with this in a way, although it's a very public employer. So like, I understand it. It's not, and then there, again, it's not the court of law or anything like that. But I was listening to Kevin Goldstein's podcast, Chin Music, on Fangraphs last week, and Tim Marchman was on. He's reported on domestic violence in sports for several years. I'm just going to quote here part of his – one of his sort of – this was sort of a broad overview of how leagues should – sort of handle like domestic violence cases. And I thought this was a good perspective. I'm just going to quote, "The best place to start from is probably centering victims, centering people who make claims, make allegations, figuring out what is going to be the thing that it will most support them, most encourage people who are in those positions to come forward, and least interfere with the legal processes that need to happen to obtain them justice. There's not in any way going to be a good or satisfying or easy answer to any of that. Anything that is primarily oriented around making a team or league look good is probably going to be the wrong strain of response." And that's end quote. I think that's where MLB tends to usually act, right? They're sort of covering their bases, making anything that makes the league look bad, they react to, but I kind of too late a lot. So I don't trust that they're looking out for the best interest of the victim, but they're looking to what's going to make this go away as quickly as possible.
And that so speaks to the Dodgers as well, just in that passing the buck is just like, how can we look like there's nothing we can do? Well, we'll just pass it to Major League Baseball and let them handle it. One, you've seen how they've handled it. You know, they're going to botch it.
They swept the Alex Verdugo allegations under the rug when Gabe Kapler was around. That was handled incredibly poorly. At the time, it really is covering your ass. Like I was looking back because I thought they said this, but I couldn't find anywhere that they actually said this. But remember, they backed out of the deal for Aroldis Chapman when his domestic violence stuff came out. And then a couple years later, when Roberto Osuna was sort of acquired on the cheap by the Astros because he was on administrative leave at the time, he ended up getting 75-game suspension. His first game back active was at Dodger Stadium, so the Dodgers were involved in that, and they were like kind of puffing out their chest and saying, well, he's not for us. And then like a year later, they have Julio Urias get suspended under the system. They never said like zero tolerance or anything like that, but it is like, you know, well, he's, you know, we'll let him rehabilitate, that kind of stuff. And, you know, seems like by all accounts he did, but like, just there's no heroes here, right? Like that's sort of the point. But like, yeah, that's where we're at. I don't suspect this will get solved anytime soon. The next sort of important probably date here is July 23rd when Bauer has a chance to respond in court to the restraining order, and then we'll see where it goes from there. You know, maybe he gets charged criminally by then. Who knows? But yeah, it's not good in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I'm just angry.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating, like on several levels, and I don't blame anyone for being angry. It's, you know, I'm angry. Like it's just bad. Like, shouldn't this stuff shouldn't be happening, and it is. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now.
We are going to talk, just do a very brief catch up on the week, and then we're done. We're not around next week. Eric has the week off, so we'll be back the week after that, but instead we will talk a little bit about what happened after this.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
There was some baseball that happened over the last week. You want to go through it, Eric?
Yeah. So I think when we recorded last week, the Dodgers had won 4 in a row, I think. They won the last 3 against Chicago and then the first game against the Giants. And then they ran that winning streak to 9. They were no hit, you know, a week and a half ago, and then they won 9 straight after that. They lost, actually, on Monday in Miami, first day of a 4-game series. They played an 8 a.m. game Pacific time on Sunday, which was interesting.
After that playing a delayed 7 p.m.
Oh,
game.
That's – yeah, that game ended – okay, so local time, I think it ended maybe just after midnight or something like that. Because midnight. It was like – yeah, so it was like – it was a 1-hour and 44-minute rain delay. Then they played at 11 local. Just brutal. So yesterday too, in the Dodger game, they actually sort of – they were down 4-2 in the eighth and they rallied. There was a bunch of walks. And then, like, the game-tying sacrifice fly was by Cody Bellinger, who off the bat seemed to hit it like 570 feet roughly, and it somehow didn't go out. He's in like a slump right now. He didn't start Monday. He's in like a 1-for-22 slump with like 10 strikeouts, and the defense has been great, but he hasn't really hit a ton this year because, you know, obviously stops and starts, all that kind of stuff. Dave Roberts the other day said, he's also like always an optimist, and he's saying like his swings are good. It's going to happen, that kind of stuff. But it really did look like he hit that a mile and it somehow didn't go out. But that would have given them a 6-4 lead rather than a, 7-4, I guess. It was rough. So that was the loss. But yeah, whatever. Like they're still sort of keeping pace with the Giants. I think they've been half a game apart for like, I think it's 5 straight days now. So the other news in the last week, the All-Star rosters were announced last week. So the Dodgers did not get any starters voted by the fans. Max Muncy finished 2nd at first base to Freddie Freeman. Muncy was also a very close 2nd in the players' vote at first base to Freeman, so he got elected as a reserve by the players. Dave Roberts did say, because he's the manager for the National League, that Max Muncy would start at DH for him. So Max Muncy is actually starting. He'll be the first Dodger to start at DH in an All-Star game. Chris Taylor made the All-Star team as a first-timer. He was a commissioner selection. I will link again in the show notes to I wrote a piece sort of outlining how rosters are chosen. A lot of people think the managers have a say. They do not. Mookie Betts, as we talked about last episode, was a player selection, which was always going to happen. Even in a down year, he's still having a pretty good year. It's his 5th All-Star selection. He was 4th among National League outfielders, both in fan balloting and in player voting, so he got a player's selection. So, but those are the only 3. I just thought it was really, like, you could make a case against like every Dodger pitcher who might be deserving of an All-Star nod. It's just they have like the best ERA, the best strikeout rate. I believe it's the 2nd best FIP and 2nd best walk rate, and they have no pitchers on the set. Like Kenley has like a 130 ERA. Again, his strikeout rate is also like the lowest in like 4 years. His walk rate is his highest ever. I get it, right? Like there's all sorts of arguments why. There's a lot of really good pitchers. Like Max Scherzer didn't make it either. But it just weird. Like I would have thought someone would have trickled in, but also between now and like the All-Star game, there's going to be a lot of replacements. Like some of the pitchers, like starters, are going to pitch on Sunday, so they probably won't be available. So there's going to be replacement people. So I don't think it's not like a grave injustice or anything. I just thought it was weird that none of the pitchers got in. The other thing would be, Will Smith definitely had a case. Each team only took two catchers, which is weird. I think over the last 10 years or so, it usually averages about three per roster. Justin Turner probably should have made it at third base. Nolan Arenado winning the fan vote sort of threw a wrench into that. That's sort of where we're at. The All-Star game will be next week. I'm taking the week or like 4 days off the break, basically. So we're not going to record next week. We'll have something in 2 weeks from now, but hopefully we can talk a little bit about baseball. But thanks for listening, everybody. I know it was a tough ep, and thanks for staying with us. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.